Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And we know that some of you are on the road, headed out to your favorite goose pit, duck blind, deer stand, wherever it might be. It's a nice, cool morning out there. Waterfowl hunting has picked up quite a bit, and we seem to have a few more birds around than we had in the past couple of weeks. And we would like to hear from you if you're on the way. I'm at 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. And those of you who have, voice-activated thing, you just say dial, and then they say number, please, and you say, well, I'd like 410-922-6680. And then they'll come back and say 410-922-6680. Is that correct? And you say, yes, and they say, dialing, and away you go. That's right. That way you don't have to take your hands off the wheel. So, but if you wrote it down and, you know, you got a piece of paper and you're looking at it or something, well, that's probably not good. But that's how you get in touch with us, either 410-WCBM-680 or 800-WCBM-680. That is for those of you who are outside the local Baltimore dialing area. Anywhere in the state of Maryland, you can call the 800 number toll-free, 800-922-6680. Want to hear from you if you're headed out that way. Boy, there's been a lot of sickness around, a lot of illness, a lot of flu, a lot of feeling bad, a lot of missing work and that type of thing. I have escaped unscathed so far. Hopefully I'll stay unscathed. I know Brian Farlow, our producer's in here this morning after a week of bronchitis, spreading his germs around. So we've got the Lysol out, and I've got the hand lotion to the hand gel to try and keep clean. Did anybody who was sick breathe on this microphone the past 2 weeks? It doesn't matter, does it? I got you. So, yeah. Yeah, the stuff you scratch off of the microphone is probably not the good stuff beyond there. Off the little... What is this thing for? Is this to prevent peas from popping? Or what's it kind of muffles the voice just a little bit, smooths it out. I got you. Well, there's a big old foam condom on the microphone that what? Is that what it does? Okay. We're not going to go into that too much more. But anyway, we'd love to hear from you. We're going to open up the show for the first half hour to callers who are on the road. And we'd like to, if anybody's out there, I've got a couple of tickets left for the National Rifle Association Outdoor Hunting and Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show in Frederick, Maryland. A couple. If you'd like to have a pair of tickets, give us a call. And we'll try to see what we got. We've got, like I said, I've got a couple pair of tickets. We'll give some away this hour. We'll give some away next hour if we have any left. Joining us a little later this hour and through the next hour is going to be Patrick Shomo. We're going to be talking about our General Assembly and gun bills that affect everybody, including hunters this time around. And people who own firearms for personal protection, shooting, fun, and enjoyment of owning a firearm. So there we go. If you'd like to talk about anything that's on your mind, the show is wide open for you for the next 30 minutes or so. So I did get a note that the fishing regulations have now been put online. You can go to the Department of Natural Resources website, and you can click on the fisheries, and you'll search around in there a little bit, and you can find the regulations for 2013, and we will I'll be more than glad to discuss fishing or hunting or whatever you'd like to talk about now. Great time of year to take kids out and go small game hunting. We had a great hunt with Uncle Dale, and what day was that? What day did we go over there? Was that last weekend? I think it was. Yep. Ran the rabbits and had a lot of fun. Love to do that. Let's see what Jeff has to say. Good morning, Jeff. How you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Good. What's up?
Nothing. Just calling in, see if I can get some tickets to the Frederick County, the NRA thing up there.
The NRA show? Sure.
Yes.
All right. Yep. And you will go, right?
Yes. Yep. My cousin and I actually head up to Old Bohemia, the WMA, to hunt this morning, and we give you a call.
All right. Very good. Appreciate that. We'll get your address there. Brian will pick your call up, and we'll get your address, send you out a pair of tickets. How's that?
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right, Jeff. Thank you. And for those of you who have won tickets in the past, those are in the mail as of today. The envelopes are typed. The tickets are in the envelope. The return address is on. All I have to do is stamp them and drop them in the mail. You will have them today. And the Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show is January 25th, 26th, 27th. That's actually next weekend. And that's at the Eventplex at the Frederick Fairgrounds in Frederick, Maryland. Easy to get to. Michael Waddell is the featured speaker. He's the bone collector. You've seen him on Michael Waddell's Real Trees Road Trips and that type of thing. If you watch the Outdoor Channel or some of the other, maybe you have his videos or something like that. He's been around a long time. Nice fella. I've met him. Got to spend about a half hour with Michael at the ATA show a couple years ago, and enjoyed his company a lot. And he's a very personable fellow. So just busy when you're torn in as many directions as Michael Waddell is, and become the marketing guru that he has become in the world of hunting. He's a busy guy. So. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Understand the geese are doing pretty well. I don't know what you heard or if you've been out, but we'd like to hear from you. You know, we kind of get done deer hunting with the beginning of January or with the end of firearm season. A number of you are headed out for the archery portion of the remainder of the archery portion of the season. Some of you are taking applying for and receiving permits to hunt managed hunts. And we're certainly, we're certainly glad to talk about that. So let's pick a subject and we'll go from there. All right. Okay, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Number of bills on firearms, and we'll discuss that in detail coming up here later this hour and into next hour. And if you want to talk about firearms, you're welcome to do so. It's been beaten to death by the news media. There's been a lot of stupid statements out there. New York passed some extremely restrictive firearms bills. They've already had a quote assault rifle ban in effect in New York. Now they've limited the magazine, not the capacity, but the magazine. How do I want to say this? The number of bullets you're allowed to keep in your magazine. Yeah, limited to 7, not 10, not 15, 7. Who the heck come up with that number, and why? Why 7? Knowing that most handguns are sold with a magazine that holds 10, and the manufacturers have complied and complied and complied since they want to sell firearms. You know, here in Maryland, we require a fired shell casing to come with every firearm for warehousing at some state police facility. If you buy a handgun, you know, it'll come and it'll say it has a fired casing or something like that. So any handgun you buy here in Maryland has been fired by the manufacturer. The casing has been submitted to the dealer. The dealer sends it to the state police, and it's kept on record. That way, of the tens of thousands of handguns that are sold, the state police has yours on file. So if they find a casing at the scene of a crime that's been committed, they try to match that with one of the casings in the database. I am not sure if there have been very many cases proven with matching casings to firearms. I don't know. Don't know the answer, but we'll try to find out. Let's see. Robert, good morning. Good morning, Robert. How are you? Robert. Hello, Robert. Well, I guess we missed Robert. Wants to know where the birds are. Bernie in Reisterstown. Good morning. Hello, Bernie. How about Lou in Crisfield?
Hey, good morning, Alan. How you doing?
Hey, Lou. Lou Compton, ladies and gentlemen. How are you doing, buddy?
Man, Alan, I'm doing better than I deserve. I know that much. Beautiful morning this morning.
It is. Are you you headed out hunting today?
Well, no, unfortunately I'm not. I'm headed out to our Maryland Barter Society. We've got our bus trip going up to Cabela's up in Hamburg today.
So oh, I got you.
Now for that. I just barely caught your show down here in Crispy. A lot of static.
Well, yeah, that far down there would be. Yep.
Yeah.
We start heading a little bit east down that way towards the ocean. Now, if you were 47 miles out in the ocean, you'd be able to pick us up, Lou.
Oh, well, I'll have to go ahead and plan myself a trip for this time next weekend, then.
There you go. Yeah, just get a boat and go out and see if you can catch a tilefish or something.
Yeah, that'd be something.
Sure. So what's up?
Well, I want to talk about that National Archery in the Schools program. They got a lot going on in that. We've got two new schools coming on board Monday. I'm training two schools. We've got Maple Elementary in Cambridge coming on board, and Pittsville Elementary Middle School in Pittsville coming on board.
Very good. Very good. Now, give us a brief summary of what the National Archery in the Schools program is.
Well, the National Archery in the Schools program is an in-school program designed to teach archery and target style archery and help students improve their educational experience for the use of the archery in the school program. It's been around for the last 10 years. It started in the state of Kentucky. It's been here in Maryland since 2005.
Right. And your role is, what's your role? Director, volunteer director?
No, actually, I'm a paid NASP employee.
Okay.
And I'm the Maryland coordinator for the NASP program here in Maryland.
The coordinator. Okay. Very good.
Yes.
So you actually visit the schools,
visit the schools and train the teachers,
right,
on how to present a safe and enjoyable archery experience in their school programs.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. If I remember right, you have an event coming up next month.
Yes, we do. We have our first annual Maryland State NASP Tournament. Will be held at the Hagerstown Community College on February the 23rd. That'll start at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we'll probably finish up about 4:30 that afternoon.
Now, these are students from around the state actually competing?
Yes, they are. They're students on grades 4 through 12. Schools will send teams of 12 to 24, and they'll all compete for prizes in different divisions. We've got the elementary division, grades 4 through 6, and then we've got middle school, 7 and 8, and then we've got the high school division, grades 9 through 12.
Okay. And now these are all students that have gone through the NASP education program, correct? These are
not just people walking in. That's correct. This is just for the schools that are participating in the NASP program currently. We have about 55 of those schools in the program right now.
55 schools in the program. So you're teaching safe and responsible handling of archery equipment, the recreational aspect, the discipline it takes to shoot a target, and all the good things that go along with that.
Yes, we are, Alan, and that all equates to a positive experience for these youngsters. Gains a lot of confidence for a lot of these kids that are out there. Because you know, there's a lot of youngsters in school that really, they just don't quite fit in, don't know where to belong. It's not everybody can be the fastest, the strongest, the smartest, or the prettiest. They can't be the head cheerleader or the star quarterback, and they all find that archery is something that is quite easy for them to do with the proper instruction. And a lot of these kids that walk through their heads or walk through school halls with their heads hung low find a real rewarding experience through the archery program and the NASP program in these schools, and they ended up liking school better, liking to teach them better, and in schools where NASP is part of the daily curriculum, we find that the grades improve, the attendance improves, so it's a win-win for the school system as well as children.
And you only have 55 school districts in Maryland?
Well, right now we have 55 participating schools in the state of Maryland. And like I say, tomorrow that'll grow by two more. I'm sorry, Monday that'll grow by two more schools.
Okay.
And very shortly we'll have another 8 schools coming on board in Washington County.
Lou, do you find this primarily in the rural areas where your program is accepted? How do you make out in the metro areas?
The metro areas, we don't have any schools in either Baltimore City or Baltimore County. We do have one school in Montgomery County right now. That's the Rocky Hill Middle School. And that's sort of as a pilot project for Montgomery County. They're kind of a little bit leery about the weapons kind of issue in school. But once they see that the program is a good, safe program, and we've got a perfect, by the way, we've got a perfect safety record after 10 years of teaching this to over 10 million kids all across the country, as a matter of fact, around the world. So once they find out how safe this experience is and how much the kids enjoy it and the benefits they enjoy as a school system, most school districts generally embrace it rather strongly.
And I'm sure they do once they learn a little bit about it and find out what it means to students' self-esteem and how enthusiastic they are about it. And, of course, it's you know, it's not a gun. It's not a firearm. You're not bringing a gun into school, are you, for God's sake?
No, we're not Texas. You know, surprisingly, there are some schools out here in the state of Maryland we've run across that have the NASH program that also have rifle programs, rifle shooting. They have 22 teams and
again,
like of course, some of them have their air rifle teams.
Yep.
I was kind of surprised at some of the schools that do have it.
Sure. Any, of course, in the rural areas, and that's...
Yes, that is mostly a rural setting there. Because like I say, right now, NASH is primarily in the rural area schools.
Right.
We're in Garrett, Allegheny, Washington, Frederick, Carroll, Howard. Let's see. Down here on the shore, we've got Somerset, Wicomico. We've got Dorchester County. That'll be our second school in Dorchester County come Monday. So we're doing pretty good. A lot of growth. There's a lot of growth down in Southern Maryland.
Very good. Glad to hear that. Well, there's an intense interest. I know from traveling around, beating around in Southern Maryland, there's a lot of interest in not only archery but bow hunting as well down that way. It's a great area for hunting and for shooting down that way. And the folks are really nice in Southern Maryland for sure.
Oh, they are.
Yes, indeed.
It's worth my trip when I travel with Chrisville over Southern Maryland. It's a special day for me to go over there. I really enjoy interacting with the folks over there.
Good people. Yes, sir. Very good. Well, Lou, listen, we need to go to take a break, and following you, we're going to have Patrick Shomo on from Maryland Shall Issue. We're going to be talking about the firearms laws. Just one quick question. The bill was dropped, I believe, yesterday about handguns, possession of handguns for protection for those people who hunt in Western Maryland, who bear hunt in Western Maryland. How do you feel about that one, being a Maryland Bowhunter Society?
Well, being president of the Maryland Bowhunter Society, a lot of people get the misconception that we would have been against that, and we certainly are not against that. In fact, we look at that as a local issue for Garrett and Allegheny County. We don't have a lot of members at that end of the state. We haven't got a lot of expressed interest in supporting it or opposing it. And our membership down here in the rest of the state, we don't oppose it.
Right.
So if that's what they want to do on a local basis, we support that as a local initiative.
All right. Now, most of our second hour of last week's show revolved around the Wildlife Sustainability Act that has not yet been dropped in the General Assembly. And what I just wanted to just touch base with you on that. And that was, you know, you've been on the meetings, a lot of elements in that bill. One small part of that is raising the hunting license fee, but there are bigger pieces to that puzzle. And we tried to explain it here on the radio show. How does your organization feel about that?
Maryland Bowhunter Society supports that initiative, Alan. It's an unfortunate thing that we asked to go into hunters' pockets again. I don't think any of us really enjoy the aspect of having to pay more for anything these days.
Right.
But, you know, the time has come. You know, we've looked at the Maryland Wildlife and Heritage Services budget. And of course, as you know, I'm also a commissioner on the Maryland
Wildlife Advisory Commission. Yes, and I believe the commission is also in favor of this.
Yes, we are. As a matter of fact, we just voted the other day to send a letter to the Legislative Sportsman's Caucus asking for their support to do something.
Right.
To go ahead and bolster the Wildlife and Heritage Services budget for the coming years.
It's very good.
It's a true shame where we're at right now as far as budget area. Without Wildlife and Heritage Service, we wouldn't have the hunting seasons that we had today. And a lot of folks don't realize, take the time to educate themselves. And, of course, everybody's first reaction is, you know, they're taking more money out of my pocket. But once we've taken the time to educate a lot of people what the real story is and how dire the budget crisis is within Wildlife and Heritage Service and the role that they play in the hunting community.
Right.
A lot of folks end up turning around and they see that they end up supporting the initiative too.
Well, you know, for the hunters out there, I think if you tell them we're only talking $1.75 a month, you know, right, to enjoy all the great benefits that we have as far as the Maryland hunting season, the waterfowl, the deer, and everything else. It's just amazing. So
yes, we have a wonderful opportunity here in the state of Maryland. You know, Alan, one thing I want to point out while we're talking about this bill, everybody's talking about an increase, and there certainly are some increases in there, but what people don't really get the word out about, there's an actual decrease in the youth hunting license.
You know, that's true. And I can tick it off here pretty quick, Lou. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the junior hunter pays $10.50 for a license now. He also pays $6 for a bow stamp, $6 for a muzzleloader stamp, $6 for a $9 for a Maryland migratory bird stamp. If he if he's fortunate enough to qualify for a bonus buck, it's $10 for a bonus buck stamp. And if he's a trapper or likes to predator hunt, the fur bear permit is another $5. That's a total of $36 additional on top of the $10.50. That $36 right. goes away under this bill.
Oh yeah.
So the kids only pay $10.50 and get to do everything. It's tremendous. It is. So, hey Lou, look, thanks. I appreciate the call. I'm sure you'll give us a ring back any other time. You're welcome to do so, and we'll talk to you soon.
God bless you, Alan, you and your listeners.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
bye-bye.
It. Be safe on your bus trip today.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. Bye-bye. There goes Lou in Crisfield. Bernie, are you back? All right. We are going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. The National Rifle Association's Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show is coming to Frederick, Maryland, January 25th through 27th at the Frederick Fairgrounds. See over 200 hunting and fishing exhibitors, the NRA Great American Whitetail Collection, nationally known seminar speakers, the Mason-Dixon Big Buck Contest, and more. General admission, $10. NRA members, $8. Kids under 9 admitted free. Weekend passes are available. It's the 2013 NRA Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show, January 25th through 27th at the Frederick Fairgrounds. Visit NRAHuntingShow.org for more information. Hey, don't forget Michael Waddell. Michael Waddell's Real Tree Road Trips, and of course he is the bone collector, will be on hand at the Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show in Frederick, Maryland.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Your hands start shaking, your heart gets to pumping, your knees get to knocking. And your mind starts racing. It's a feeling like you never felt before. Have you coming back for more? Buck fever, gonna get you, boy. Buck fever, have you praying to the Lord that right?
Hey, joining us right now is the president of Maryland Shall Issue, Patrick Shomo. He's on the line from all the way down Southern Maryland. Good morning, Patrick. How are you doing?
Morning, Alan. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing very well.
Good. Glad to hear that. Thanks for calling in and working with us here on the issues in front of the General Assembly. And I'm sure there's much more to come, and we'll have to have you back again. But we're in a climate of frenzy here when it comes to firearms in our country.
Absolutely. And I think Maryland is somewhat, I wouldn't call it the epicenter. I think that's shared with a couple of other states. But we are definitely one of the few who have the most to be concerned about here.
That's true. We saw New York act quickly and stupidly to expand their agenda to, confiscation was on the table. I mean, that was an admission from some of the members of their, I guess it's their General Assembly or whatever they call
those
it.
Those words actually came from their own governor.
Now, that's true. That's true. Yes. Exactly right. And now we have this ridiculous law that also limits law enforcement to 7 bullets in the magazine of the firearm. What's that?
What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
I guess you're right. But let me ask you a question. Does that include one in the chamber?
It says, let's put it this way. The people who formulated this law were very much intended to limit this thing as much as they can. And 7 rounds was picked for a reason. They don't really understand firearms. And they obviously didn't understand their own legislation because, like you said, they did not exempt law enforcement officers. So if an officer is carrying his S&W, his Glock, he's violating the law right now. So
yeah, he's committing a misdemeanor while on duty.
So the whole plus one is a question that I think, if you've got one in the chamber, 7 in the mag, what's going to happen? Now, keep in mind, this also is one of those, you can have a mag that holds 10 rounds.
Right.
But you may not put more than 7 in there.
Ridiculous.
So what we think is going to happen, yeah, it is. What we think is going to happen is if you're in a plus one, because I've talked to a few people about this, and this is just one of those scratching our heads. If you have a plus one, the courts will look and say, well, yeah, but you have a 10-round mag, and we said that the mag is limited to 7. So plus one in the chamber is a violation of the law because the spirit and intent of the legislature is that you may have no more than 7 rounds functionally loaded into a firearm. So in that case, it would be 6 plus 1.
Yeah, let's hope that if you have selected a firearm that has a 10-round capacity magazine, which allows you to put 11 shots in the firearm, 1 in the chamber, 10 in the magazine, let's hope that you don't have multiple perpetrators invading your home. And let's hope your name hasn't been put in the local newspaper, leaving you open, as a gun owner, leaving you open to whatever that might bring.
No, absolutely. They actually did pass a law. One thing they did do up there that was useful is they got an amendment on a bill that actually prevented the publishing of handgun license information.
Oh, they were able to do that. They were able to get that passed.
Well, Senator, I think it was Jennings. I think I don't know New York politics as well as I used to. So
right.
Yeah, I'm going to look up that name just because I want to make sure that I give proper credit because I just said a name on air. I'll look it up in a moment. But, they actually did get that out there. And the Journal News, the people who published all those firearm owner addresses,
right,
took their website down last night, and they claim it because they want to be compliant with the law, though the law doesn't apply to them. They could keep it up.
Right.
Truth is, there's been at least 2, and there's rumor there's more, houses that have been hit. This is a community that doesn't have much crime.
Right.
They don't get burglaries. They don't get people going to a house, taking a ladder, running up against the side of the house, breaking the, cutting the glass, going in and carefully rifling through your contents. That doesn't happen over there very much.
Right.
Well, it's happened at least twice to the people on that list.
No, they're going. Criminals are going for the guns.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, our community has always had this question: if people knew you had guns, if you were on such a list, what would happen? Would you be less likely to be suffering crime because people would be afraid of what you do, or would you be more? Well, it turns out if it's during the daytime and you're not at home, you're more likely to
be burglarized. Absolutely.
Registration lists are not smart guns.
Right. And that's all right. Well, let's talk a little bit about Maryland. What path are we going down here at the moment?
Well, we're going down the same path, albeit a little bit slower. So you see what's happening at the national level. We have, you know, a president who is showing his true colors when it comes to these issues. Remember this, I mean, I don't want to get too political here, but this is a man who, just to give you an idea where he's coming from, we're talking about people who don't understand us.
Right.
And this is a man who clearly admitted that years ago when he says, you know, those people out there in flyover country, the whole bitter clinger.
Yeah, they're bitterly clinging to their religion and their guns, and yeah, that's right.
And I don't think
they're intolerant, you know, that type of thing.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, everybody who does what we do is some kind of racist.
Of course. Yep.
Even my wife, who has several skin shades darker than myself, so
yep.
Apparently she's racist as well.
Of course.
The issue that we run into is we have a group of people in the United States of America who are very much of the mindset that we're icky people, all right? And
we're icky. I like that.
Yeah, we're icky.
Yeah, we're icky.
I got that from someone this week who actually wrote, you know, you can't really formulate national or even statewide policy on the idea that I just think that what they do is icky. You know, I just don't like guns.
Well, that's so, like the two fellows that walked down the street, I believe it was California or Portland, Oregon. They walked down the street with their ARs strapped around their shoulders in a public education effort, and people thought that was inappropriate.
Yeah, well, I would caution people in this state that doing the same thing may or may not be appropriate depending on where you are.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah. If your intent is to get a rise out of somebody, and there's a firearm involved, probably not
you,
my policy.
No, probably not a good idea. I wouldn't advise that way to walk down the street to educate the public. So,
but it is definitely the case that, you know, you look at people who are doing that, say, in Oregon, and they're doing it in places where, you know, I don't want to get too far afield. You asked a question. I'm going to try to give you an answer. So
yeah.
Where
are we right now in the General Assembly in Maryland, and what are we looking forward to?
Okay. So where we are right now is you've heard the governor doing lots of talk, and that talk is then he promises to back it up with legislation.
Right.
What we have right now is we have some pieces of legislation which have been introduced. We have a mag limit law that's been put in. We have a one
this
that
is,
was
this
dropped.
Is a this is a magazine restricted to 10 rounds.
It is.
All right.
And it's restricting the transfer or the sale or it's not possession, but a transfer or sale of a magazine which can hold greater than 10 rounds within the state of Maryland.
Right.
We also have one that was just dropped overnight, which is qualifications for handgun permits.
Oh, this is new.
Yeah, well, you know, and here's what we're getting into. You know, Governor O'Malley went out and did a big presser yesterday, a big press conference, and he had all these people around him, and I give him credit for not surrounding himself with children.
With children. Because, good for him.
I don't think that's necessarily... Much like walking down, you know, the street of Montgomery County, you know, through the Shishi districts with an AR strap over your shoulder probably wouldn't be wise. Neither, I think, is a good policy to surround yourself with children when you're talking about these types of things.
Exactly.
The promises from him were that, you know, we would see mag limit bills, what he's calling an assault weapon ban, and a number of other issues, big ones being licensing of owners of handguns. And the interesting thing is he has been promising this for several weeks, and they've been keeping it undercover.
It's in the hopper.
Well,
kind of.
A lot of people, and I'm not...
It's in the magazine. It's not in the chamber.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, a lot of people have a very curious, are scratching our heads on both sides, actually. The governor yesterday promised all this stuff. He's had weeks to do this. He did not provide actual text of his proposed legislation yesterday. And he said, well, you know, maybe we'll have it in the afternoon. Didn't do it in the afternoon. And a lot of people noticed, including especially our friends in the media, and when I say our friends, I say that loosely.
Sure.
Who... Friday afternoon, Friday night is the time when somebody dumps something that they don't want in the news. It's one thing to talk about on Friday, but to actually give something of substance before the last deadline on Friday, basically what happens is when government wants to release something that they think is a turd, they will essentially do it on a Friday night.
Sure, Friday night, and then you got nobody listening to the news on Saturday, Sunday, Monday being a federal holiday. It's already Tuesday until the news starts to leak out.
Right. And so what we have right now is we have a couple of pieces that have been introduced, the magazine limit, the new one, handgun permit. I looked at this just before, just this morning is when I found it. What this does is it's putting in place a system where a person is not granted a handgun permit unless they have completed a certified firearms safety training course that the Police Training Commission conducts without charge or meets the standards of Police Training Commission, blah, 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 unless the ground for exemption sets forth in items or whatever. What we're looking at is that is kind of a preemptive approach. What we're expecting is a training bill, a licensing bill, much like they wanted to put in last year. So here's what we know we're going to get. We're going to get a system whereby if you try to purchase a handgun or any type of regulated firearm in the state, and remember, a regulated firearm is what they call it.
Yeah, a regulated firearm is a standard rifle, shotgun, anything except a breech or a front-loading muzzleloader, I believe, isn't it? Regulated handgun the AR-style rifles and the handguns? Is that what they're calling?
Right now, a regulated firearm within the state is any handgun whatsoever.
Right, any handgun. I got you.
And a firearm, which is functionally equivalent to a list of firearms, and you can think ARs, AKs,
right,
that type of thing.
Right.
There is one or two shotguns on there, though not things like the Sega or some of the more popular recent import type firearms. So what they're going to do is expand that, and their ultimate goal here nationally is to take semi-auto out of civilian hands. They want to essentially make semi-automatic firearms the equivalent of an NFA firearm. An NFA firearm is something that has...
It's like a submachine gun is what you're talking about.
Like a submachine gun.
Right.
That is their stated goal. Now, this isn't just conspiracy tinfoil hat stuff. This is what they want to do. So within Maryland, what we're told is there's going to be a list of at least 145 specific models within Maryland that they're going to go ahead and specifically ban. Now, when I say regulate, it's not the case that you have to ask permission for these anymore. They're just going to make it impossible to get
them. You just can't get them, and the manufacturers are going to have to just say, we can't sell these firearms in Maryland.
Absolutely. And then there's going to be...
Hold on. Hold on. Before we go, and then we're going to take a break. Let's leave this stew for a second. 145 firearms on the list that will be banned in Maryland. We got to take a break. Time for me to tell you folks about Clyde Sports Shop. Speaking of handguns and firearms, there's not much left. The shelves are almost empty. There are some 22s and some 380s and things like that. There might be a 40 or so down there, but the guns are hard to get. But Clyde's got them, and Clyde's is also your hunting and fishing headquarters right here in Maryland. You know, they're your full-line Browning dealer. Turkey season coming up. Take a look at the Browning BPS. They've got a great one available in both Mossy Oak Camo and Realtree for turkey season. They've got a 10-gauge if you'd like to go that route. The Maxxis shotgun is also available in camo. That is a semi-automatic or an autoloader. It comes in 3 and 3.5-inch chambers. And the new power drive gas system reduces recoil. It's great for waterfowl, too. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. If you need your fishing license, your hunt license, they've got licenses, gunsmithing services, scope mounting, bore sighting, and they are your full-line hunting and fishing retailer right here in Maryland. Again, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Since 1957, it's Clyde Sports Shop. 410-242-6108. The website is www.clydesports.com. That phone number again, 410-242-6108.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linux are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linux spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linux spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linux now offer the new Linux Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linux is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linux spray-on bedliner.
If you love the great outdoors, you'll love the National Rifle Association's Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show. It's 3 big days of hunting and fishing excitement, January 25th through the 27th at the Eventplex at the Frederick Fairgrounds in Frederick, Maryland. See over 200 hunting and fishing exhibitors, the NRA Great American Whitetail Collection, nationally known seminar speakers, the Mason-Dixon Big Buck Contest, and more. The first 200 attendees each day receive a free Drury Outdoors DVD. General admission, $10. NRA members, $8. Children under 9 admitted free. Weekend passes are available. Renew your NRA membership at the show for $35 and receive a free weekend pass to show. It's the 2013 NRA Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show, 1 to 7 p.m. on Friday, January 25th, 9 to 7 on Saturday the 26th, and 9 to 5 on Sunday, January 27th at the Frederick Fairgrounds in Frederick. Visit NRAHuntingShow.org for more information.
And don't forget, the bone collector Michael Waddell will be on hand at the NRA show.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
You're on the most powerful names in talk. Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
Boy, I bet they don't have very many gun laws in Alabama. All right. We're back with Patrick Shomo, president of Maryland Shall Issue, discussing upcoming gun legislation in Maryland. Patrick, are we there?
Yes, we are.
Ah, okay. Very good. 145 firearms.
Well, it gets better.
Oh, no. Okay, go ahead. Make it better for me.
Because our community of firearm manufacturers, of course, are very adept at changing names and changing models. So what they did is they took a page out of the 1994 ban that was done at the federal level from Bill Clinton, and President Clinton came up with something called a two-feature test. So back then it was, we're going to have a list of what they call lethality-enhancing features, which are things, and on this list were things like if it has a pistol grip or if the grip protrudes more than something like an inch below the trigger, if there is some type of heat shield around a barrel so that you don't burn your hands, if there is a threaded barrel,
if it looks like it's sinister.
Yeah, well, yeah, if it's got a stock that's adjustable. So he listed these features back in 1994, the law.
Right.
And they said if you had two of those, on any two of those combined on a firearm, it was considered an assault weapon and therefore banned. Now, what New York and now Maryland is doing is taking that one step further. They've added new features, and it's now called a one-feature test. If you have a threaded barrel...
Internal or external?
Actually, it doesn't say.
Really?
So we're waiting for Maryland's text. Again, the governor's hiding some stuff right now.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
What we know from previous introductions of this law within Maryland, which is what we expect to be reintroduced here, and from what happened in New York, it doesn't say internal or external. What we do know is that the one feature test will convert even pump action shotguns that have a pistol grip on them, or
like your turkey gun.
A stock plus a pistol grip. It's going to convert those into assault weapons overnight. They can no longer be traded, sold, and we do very much expect that you're going to need to go through some type of background investigation to own that. So the one feature test is going to be a prominent part of this assault weapon ban, and the current so-called assault weapon list within Maryland is a list of firearms with which you can purchase, transfer, and everything else in the state, but you have to go through the 10-day waiting period, additional background checks. That's gone. What they're going to do now is say they're just banned, as in
can't get them. Right.
Yeah,
no wonder people are flocking to the firearms stores and purchasing guns that they have no idea what the price should be, and they have no idea what to do with them. No wonder.
Oh, absolutely.
No wonder. I mean, look at people with Hostess Twinkies, for God's sake. People were, running to the store buying cases of Twinkies because they thought they weren't going to get any more, and they're freezing them, and they're doing it, incandescent light bulbs. This invasive, intrusive government is just getting out of control, and now it's going to touch a lot more people. Well, I mean, light bulbs, but we just said, oh, okay, that's fine. We like saving energy. I just wonder how many of the sheeple in Maryland are going to say, oh, okay, well, we don't need a threaded barrel anyway. Well, hunters, guess what? I hope you're going to be able to buy that semi-automatic shotgun with choke tubes. The one like the Maxis that we just talked about, the Browning Gold, the Browning Silver, the Browning Maxis, any of the Remingtons, any of the firearms that have threaded barrels. Because I ask, does it say internal or external? Are choke tubes excluded?
We got lucky in New York. In New York, someone stuck an amendment on there to actually exempt shotguns, provided the shotgun had certain other features, or lacked other features.
Really?
So, yeah, they choke tubes escaped for the moment. What we know our governor has tried to do and got rebuffed. So this is a gradual process.
Oh, sure.
We'll talk about process.
Sure.
Now, at the federal level, I'll tell you right now, I think we're pretty safe on the federal level. I don't think much of this is going to go anywhere. The magazine limit at the federal level is something I think they're going to talk about and something we're going to have to watch. And I think the what they call a universal background check is something that we're going to have to watch and be wary of.
Now, let's explain. Let's boil this down. Maybe it's best we're best served to do this next hour, and maybe do it again. But briefly, what they're talking about is a universal background check. And somebody said, if you want to sell your gun to your brother, you got a 30-06 that maybe dad had back in the day, a 7.60. Remington 30-06 pump, and you own it, and you want to sell it to your brother, your uncle, your friend, and hey, give me $100. It was dad's gun. Blah blah blah. You're going to have to undergo a background check.
It's not only sell; it's transfer.
Transfer.
If you want to give one to your brother,
give one to your child. That's right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
That involves getting the government involved, going to state police barracks or a federal firearms dealer, laying the gun on the counter and saying, this is my and paying a fee. This is my grandfather's gun. I want to give it to my son. What do I have to do? Well, you have to fill out the paperwork. What do you mean? You have to fill out a 4473. We have to call it in. You can't even get through on the NICS line right now. I mean, the amount of people that are purchasing firearms are just the wait right now, and you know this. If I went into Clyde's today and I wanted to buy a shotgun, God knows how long the waiting period would be because of the volume of National Instant Check System calls that are going in right now. And it's ridiculous. It may be up to 8 days before you can walk away with your firearm. What if you wanted to buy a new shotgun for goose hunting? You just wanted to get it and go today. May not happen.
Well, in Maryland, the regulated firearm system last month. So this is, again,
now you're talking about the semi-automatic rifles and the handguns on the regulated list. Go ahead.
Yeah, the numbers last month from Maryland State Police, in an average month of December, which is, you know, you remember Christmas season.
Right.
So the average December sees around 4,000. Now, this includes everything, handguns, you know, rifles, whatever. They have, on average, 4,000 on the regulated side in an average month of December. Last December, they did 11,000. And this January is looking like it's slowing down only because people can't buy anything anymore.
There's nothing to buy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's nothing to buy. So they ended up with 21-day and 28-day waits in some cases. And so Maryland State Police, I know a couple of people over there. We've had some back and forth with them over this. You know, they're doing their best, and the people who are working the actual background investigation side, they've got it down to 14 days. I think they're getting it down to 11 at the end of this week, and they're going to try to get it back down under 7. But they're hamstrung largely by a legislature that tells them what to do but doesn't give them people to do it with.
Right, exactly.
So I want everybody, when they're talking, the Maryland State Police has been, I don't know, they annoy me. I like them some days. Other days they do things that kind of drive us crazy. But at the end of the day, what they're doing is they're executing what the governor and the legislature says.
Well, sure, of course. They're the state police. They're the ones that you know, function at the whim of the governor, whatever he wants them to do. And I see that there is enough funding to increase the state police force to regulate your firearms. But you know, there's not any funding for people that manage our wildlife. You know that.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, it. All right. Well, look, Patrick. There's the music. We're going to take a break for the news. It's going to be about a 5 or 6 minute break. Can you hang on the line?
Absolutely.
Yep. We're going to put you on hold. We'll talk more about this when we come out, and we'll talk about some specific laws that have already been introduced into the Maryland General Assembly concerning firearms. Our guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Patrick Shomo, president of Maryland Shall Issue. And we'll talk more about Maryland Shall Issue as well. Maybe we'll come back and start with that and kind of preface folks on what Maryland Shall Issue is and what your mission statement and that type of thing is. So, Patrick Shomo, just hang on the line. Folks, if you got to leave us now, well, get out, stay out, and stay safe, and we'll see you after the news.